start 3/29 on Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Members present are Representative School, Joseph and Shirley, and myself, Representative Spong, who will conduct business. This is Ms. Rosalie from House Records, Ms. Shannon McCain, and Deb Bridges from the Joint Hall of Justice. We're in the room. Thanks for being with us. We have one item on today's agenda, and that is consideration of HB 37. We have one amendment for Representative Josephson, and we have a conceptual amendment as well. Representative Josephson, would you like to move your amendment?
Some of the words are good, that royalty is the true barometer. interest in neural holdings. And has some interesting dialogues that combines a portion of the view on the with a royalty interest. The other thing is, even though Representative Wolf's bill sort of, as I said, slaughters me because of its income tax feature, this 59-10 split numerically without income tax, looking at the 59-10 split, gives me greater sense that the services the public demands for the state will not be impacted. So it's designed to take something from the people and bring them together.
All right. Available for questions on our website. So, thank you, Cora Bigelow, Operations Manager with the Permanent Fund, and Nicole Reynolds, Deputy Director of the Tax Division for the Department of Revenue. And I wanted to ask Mr. Bell if you could describe what the amendment number one would do in terms of. expecting when we will get online momentarily.
Yes, this brings me up.
would say that comprehensively, given the approach, I don't know that those I represent would find this the appropriate door statute.
All right. Any additional comments? All right. We'll go to call the roll.
Yes.
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 Still processing the conceptual amendment here. I appreciate that taking the time to put it in writing because it's a little bit complicated. And when we talk about making our language more in line with the federal requirements of the federal language, are we simply saying that we are increasing our deductions of those deferred tax deductions because the federal tax code, those actions already exist, is it?
Yes, I think that's correct. I think there was a
spending there that exists additional income beyond the original bill from taxation.
So it would reduce access to a firm to collect the previous proposal by a nominal amount.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. I have a question.
This is based on a compromise measure and it would require those that are lower income to participate in income tax. I think that's one of the things that often we hear parts of income tax say is that they don't like people that really doesn't participate, but I think this gives folks an opportunity to participate. But I think also that trying to live on $12,550 in the state of Alaska, it strikes me as an untenable sort of situation. So I think that's my only hesitation. Do you have a call from Rebecca?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate the comments. I certainly advocate that people should try to live on $12,000 or $16,000. I think it's unfortunate. central and make that much money, basically the PhD is as everybody. And their first amount is tax free, so then the PhD will be fully paid. This looks like $1,000 for you all to fully to their income and not be taxed, and the PhD is not taxed as well. So, and I guess I'm more concerned for confusion when people think that in economies without one.
Versus just a tax payer, because I think there's a distinction there. I believe that reform of tax structure is where if I had a to address this question. There are people that are income, but they're not high salt, so maybe we should work it. The tax is a little bit worse. I do have
to say that I'm sure I'm looking for the opportunity to talk on what further layers can help bring the after repeatable. In that capacity, and then I'll make their informed capacity. And I apologize for this being a conceptual memory, but I'll put it before myself because the idea came to get a little bit late, and although there was a formal request, it's not back to us yet, but the goal is to align House Bill 37 with the federal standard deduction, meaning the amount that the federal taxpayer can deduct, but before you make the tax tables, those numbers are in the first part of the bill. If you have the amendment, I'm sorry, if you skip to the second page of the amendment, that's the definition section of the underlying bill, and you have the new definition for a household. And household is a single person or the married person that files separately from their spouse who has at least one additional dependent in the household. So it's different than a single person and different from joint filing or with or without dependents. It's a single filing with two elderly people, et cetera, that they would be responsible for accounting for. And within the federal account, there's additional deductions for dependents. Postal 37 does not have that, but the idea of dependents is carried forward into the definition of the household.
All right. Thank you. That's helpful. Very representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now it says qualified dependents. If you have a single parent who's a child, but only have one dependent, is that not qualified because dependent is plural?
I'm not sure. That's why it's a conceptual amendment. I'm certain that when that the draft is cleaned this up and put it into the report that the sheet of pass and move on to the next committee, those are the sorts of issues that will be cleared. Based on the intent of the committee, which absolutely that S does not require more than one dependent.
Ms. Talman, could you speak to the process for cleaning up language like this?
Change here.
interview Mr. Albert with this offer.
The intent is to be aligned with federal law, and it's not really a question, it's just an exemption level. And we know all that you can exempt when you're gone from the first, 12,000 by 50 personal filer. And if the federal government changes that on the federal tax return, it will change for the state automatically. It will offer itself.
Thank you, Paul. So I think that the deduction is being practiced to include the federal and the tax practice themselves. Is there any kind of impact as a federal government to change the actual tax bracket on the
income? Thank you. To the chair, this is a bracketed tax. This is a flat tax of 2.5%, and that won't change at all. The federal government has made brackets as a progressive tax. This is a flat 2.5%, and that will not change. The income exemptions change, that will change the federal, but the brackets have no corollary in this bill.
Yes, we're ready.
Thank you, sir. You know, I'm sorry, but just to add one small thing to try and help with the nation's question and follow up. But the second part of the amendment on the back bottom of the first page, it's important to understand the underlying bill, the original bill, had that standard deduction of $10,000 that was indexed in this nation and was based on Alaska's contributions. And what's actually happening in this section of the amendment is bill is referencing being deleted, and instead we're reverting to the IRS as the only definition of standard deduction, which they publish in the number every year. And essentially, we're linking to that, and as we update their numbers annually, Alaska's income tax will be using the IRS standard deduction.
Great, thank you, Representative Harkin. $13,000 and the tax rate and therefore being taxed, and I think it's just important to understand for the public watching that if you're making $13,000, only $450,000 being taxed, it's being taxed at 2.5% rate. So you're paying during there is a legitimate argument to not having those overly brackets paying tax. The tax that you'd be looking at would be, most of the $1. So I think it's just important to recognize that. But that income is flatly exempted from tax. It's just bracket. It's above that level that it's been taxed.
Thank you. And welcome to Representative Prax, who has joined us at 3:59 p.m. Is there any additional questions or comments? Representative Sam.
No, thank you. And if someone is in the situation of not having any taxable income after these deductions, is that something that could potentially carry them into the next tax year if they haven't used all of their deductions this year?
My understanding from my coursework at the University of Accounting, I would not be able to carry that over to the standard function that is not any deduction that's unused.
Thank you.
I think that we will get offered to corporations where they're not people. Yes, all right. So, thank you. And my name is Judith Schumann from Georgia Houston. Hold on, I know this. All right. So, if you need an introduction, you're right. Will the clerk call the roll?
Yes. thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Jeff Goodhouse. I appreciate both of you getting to start with that for me today. I think as far as the 10-90 split, it really recognizes that as we are working on the first day, we passed some great bills that are saving us money as a state. But I think there are things that I've been hearing from constituency to state benefits. We're getting more people aging. Need to think of benefit, and as that category rises, there is less money that they put on the pool for think of benefits. And so that's just one example where there are needs from Marina and Oscars, and I think the MB10 recognizes that, and it also has a mechanism where the PFD is around $1,000, so I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the amendment recognizing people on low incomes really got to have them, and they are contributing. They also recognize this is the stress of being on low income. So, right. These changes to the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to add to note, I think there's a lot of popular support for the amount of money we pay towards those Medicare private fund investments right now. And part of that support is recognizing that the work that those people do, which is not so great, large hours compared to other state positions, is currently done on behalf of not just the state, but also on behalf of the public through the Indian program. And this bill right now would take it so that 90% of their work effectively is just the state. 10% of work is for the public through the Indian. And I'm just wondering if the support for those salaries might wane. What's this bill that comes along, if it does?
Before I jump to my comments, I mean, I guess in respect to the last speaker, I mean, that is currently the case, as it has been for the last 5 or 6 years, that the majority of the permanent appropriations work and the management of the funds and the returns that they bring, the majority of that has gone to fund general government, and it's just been relatively small portion of going to dividends. So I don't know that there is much of a change compared to the status quo over the last 5 or 6 years, and there still seems to be a broad base of support for the work of the permanent bank corporation. So with my respect to the previous speaker, I think that really this keeps things in line with the last 3 years, and there wouldn't be much cause for the public to change its support for the permanent bank corporation and the great work that they do. I think one of the things that I really like about what we've done today to this bill is we have tied the dividends directly to resource production in our state, which is something that I and I have heard frequently going to report in conversations about the permanent fund dividend is that it's our oil revenue. It's our share of oil revenue. And I think that this ties the dividends in a much more tangible way than we've had in years past to the success of our natural resource production in our state, while still retaining that link to the permanent fund, so that should oil revenues in any given year go to zero, there's still a permanent fund dividend. The people of Alaska still benefit from the permanent fund and work of the permanent fund corporation. But when we have a boom year and either oil prices skyrocket or production skyrockets, the people of Alaska really see that benefit through a drastically increased check. And I think there's tremendous benefit in that. I also find a lot of benefit in the fact that this provides some sustainability to our state. In years past, I remember as a child, very large dividend checks and the great benefit that provided. And we've seen that decline and decline and decline. And while we're still paying dividends of 700 and upwards in recent years, but that has been unsustainable. We haven't had a balanced budget, and we have been forced with difficult decisions as to whether or not to overdraw the earnings reserve, which in the long run,
recognizes the longevity of the permanent pandemic to the extent that we could within a decade or two have no permanent funding existence anymore, let being demand for no funds to fund basic state services that we all rely on. So this allows us to continue paying those dividends. In fact, increases the dividend amount up to around $1,000 and balances the budget so that we are forced to look at what we're in our reserve, and we can meet our basic needs as a state. Ideally, we will put some funds towards our capital budget and different needs that we have, and still provide people, the people who are still able to support the they need to dividends. So, I really think this is the best of both worlds. A little bit of HB202 from Representative Merrick, and a little bit of some of the fat tax proposals that we've seen around, it ends up being a very comprehensive solution. And very excited to see this bill before us and to be discussing solutions such as this, and excited to move on to committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Bonnet. So I guess I'm a little mystified as to how some philosophers have struggled with our present position. They seem to think that there's a conspiracy of some sort or fighting the middle, and that all can be the way it was in, say, FY12 or FY13, and it just can't be. In fact, when I look at, even if we did have a year like we did in FY12 when we brought in $9 billion, I would look at this differently because the current calculation for dividend is in the range of $2 billion, and that's what the state needs to keep people who are a threat to us in custody. In Brown University, which has been for 15 years, from 85 to 2012. So, $3,000 dividends seemed fine. We think about the appealing here with the extra gasoline settlement. It seems fine when you're generating a million barrels a day and say $120-$130 a barrel. I think that there's this sort of malaise that you know, always may have times are tough. Are tough, but when we forget that we remain here we are with this budget based bill, and they're balancing the budget without the real modest tax. But a glass is easily half full, and that's not because we're doing the state, but it can sustainably draw $3 billion to live in perpetuity. Now, the Russian has happened to admit that there's some threat against what can be read. Our ability to do that. And that's where he pushes the Turing Blind model. But I think that we have to reform the dividend. And I understand that we can't have a dividend only solution. I understand that we should have gotten there, except for one major caveat, and that is the public responded vehemently to the administration's early attempts to slash government. So we sort of settled into this place, and we're not done. Chair Thomas, we need to finish the job, and my intent is to not accept any major reforms until we have revenue as part of the package. Given that circumstance, I support the bill.
Thank you, Chair Sponholz. I am not in favor of this as an option for sorting out the river problem. There's a number of things that I just have philosophically object to. In some words, this is turning the dividend as a meaning. It is earnings. Is turning it more into a royalty than a dividend, which conceptually is quite different. It puts the income volatility risk on private citizens, on
take this conceptually, that the quiet fund, it's called a sovereign wealth fund, and we tend to look at ourselves as a sovereign in this strong battle is looking as that the legislature and the state as the sovereign is protecting the state rather than the people. And in fact, we should look at it differently, that the people are the sovereigns and not the state. So I object to that. And I disagree with the previous speaker. The public outcry from the governor's budget that was proposed a couple of years ago did not appear to be really a public outcry. From the hearings that I went to and some of those demonstrations and whatnot, the demonstrations and the resistance to that was organized by groups that get the primary benefit of state spending, not the general public. It gets a much lower direct benefit from the state spending. So we've got that altogether wrong, and there's just better options to address the state's cash flow problem. So therefore, I'm not in favor of this particular option. Thank you.
Thank you.
things here, goes into the general fund, along with other things that go into the general fund, the 90 pair would be able to draw the oil production tax and so on and so forth. And then the general fund would be the service of schools, the public safety, public health, the university, doesn't mean the education in the land. So this tax just goes into the general fund, and we've started the EFT to have it in the
resource development, but also business licensing and, you know, sort of more mundane things that will make our lives work the courts and make sure that we can have our contracts enforced. There's all sorts of things that the state does, and it's all for the good of all of us. You can't buy a public safety with a $3,000 dividend to make up for the 50 different types of bank. You know, the difference between the statutory PFD, $1,000 PFD, and viable public education and safety that I get as a licensed citizen. And I think that those things are important. You have to keep in mind that government is actually not inherently evil. Government is simply doing for all of us. None of us can do it individually, but we can come together like a family in a community. We can do it together, and I think that's really important. We have the structural deficit in years now, right? This is a big problem that isn't going away. We no longer have the good old days that representatives of San Martin, we have a million barrels of oil going through the pipeline every day, and I think we all look forward to increased oil production in the Marsh Field, but I think that, you know, some of the low-income projects could bring additional revenue, but we're never going to drill our way out of this problem anytime soon. These days are really lovely moment. We've had, in fact, curbs of war and high investment state. And we have to acknowledge this reality and figure out how it is that we're going to build in Alaska that helps make sure that our children and grandchildren are able to live their families here as well. If there's something special left, and we heard from the public when the government releases budget in 2019, that they really wanted, and that was not an AstroTurf campaign. I got over 4,000 emails. My phone was ringing off the hook from people that were just terrified about what it was going to mean to our state, better public education, and university public safety. Like, that was just not a, without starting off 6 direction, and what happened with the old head, no, that is not a direction we want to go. And so I think now we're in a situation where the public has said, okay, we've gone far enough, we don't want this now, so we can stand here to figure out how we're gonna do something about it. And I want to thank Representative Little for introducing this bill. This is epic, right? It takes a lot of courage to introduce a bill like this. And I want to thank you sincerely for that. This budget, this bill will simply help us balance our budget, create some fiscal certainty for our state, fund a reasonable PFD, which I am very strongly reporting for, fund capital budgets, which are important, and we're beginning to rebuild our state's fiscal situation, which is more important than the last 7 years. It could get a little down to CPR, but to almost $8 billion, and FY30, and a lot of permanent funding fund, which is really important to spend more investment in the state. I think it's really important that I'm pleased to support it. Nobody wants to tax themselves. I don't want to pay taxes. That doesn't sound fun. But I do want our state that's healthy and strong and with a strong economy. I think that this is a critical piece of that. And with that, we'll observe the call roll. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a motion down here. There we go. Motion. We're taking 30.
HB 37/32-0207/May, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and three accompanying fiscal notes.
Any objection? All right, there is no objection. It moves without objection from committee. So I also want to thank the members of the committee who did some really important work. This year, it was also courageous to stay on this committee and have some of these conversations that we had. I want to thank Representative Merrick and Bruce Tompkins also for introducing some really important bills and from the administration and from the chair about spending cap measures that will be a part of our comprehensive fiscal plan. That's an important conversation for us to consider. This is likely our last meeting of the year, although if possible, we do meet again. Yes, Representative Justin.
Yes, I was going to talk about this, but not in 15 seconds or less. I think that there were some sort of cynical comments about the kinds of inquiries and needs of it. And I think you masterfully did really deal with huge number of important issues. No other committee had the time to do this. And we dialogued in advance and all of them. It's up to our colleagues to see that they were.
This is likely the last meeting of this session. This committee will meet in the interim. Sorry, my internet. Everyone understand I was very transparent about that in the beginning because we will look at other ways to squeeze more value. We may vote on some goals that are squeezing more value from our precious resources. So we're going to state dollars right now. We'll do some more work on that. If you have any personal guidance that you want to bring, please let me know. We'll have your hands on it. Before we wrap up, I'll just remind everybody that we were authorized to use the FDL to make any necessary conforming changes to HB 37. I don't think I've missed that. I have said that specifically. I think we want to make sure that we're clear about that on the record. I think we've done a straight ask that we need to take care of that representative who's part of Eagle Eye was able to catch. So, with that, I think we'll see if any other comments.